You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast.
Real life, no myth.
Where we talk about myths and misunderstandings
surrounding life, race, faith, and culture.
If you'd like to support the Nick Smith Podcast, rate us on iTunes.
Or you can give through our Patreon.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends can know what you're listening to.
We are your hosts, Nick Smith
and Kylie Jo Smith, and today's episode is called Deny Yourself.
Yeah, that means you too. I'm talking about you.
You talking about me?
I was talking about you. But I'm talking about, because it's never about me. I don't have to deny
But it says you too. So like, so both it implies of that it's so also you. And
I also
me.
Have to apply it to my life.
That's right. When you say two, that implies.
Why is life so hard?
It's inclusive. It's an inclusive statement.
Okay.
A lot of people will like that.
I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Why is gaining weight so easy?
What, for us or just?
I mean, just in general. Well, I guess I shouldn't say in general. So those of you out there who struggle to gain weight.
Bless you.
Lord has a special place in his heart for you. And he's keeping you there in the palm of his hand. But for most of us, once we hit a certain age, mm-hmm. I will say, for me, that was like 16. most of us, gaining weight is the issue. And yeah. I don't mean like bulking up, like gaining muscle, because I get it. Like bodybuilders, they work really hard at that. I do not. I don't work really hard, and I just keep on gaining weight.
Yeah.
It is so easy.
Yeah, I mean, there's like the science answer.
What's the science answer?
Stress, overeating, not getting enough sleep, immune deficiency? I don't know. Not immune.
I think you're making stuff up right now.
No, but like having a poor immune system.
Okay.
Can cause weight gain. There's all kinds of things that cause it. But I mean, the simple answer, I guess, is
just
eating too much. I mean,
just cause. I can only speak for myself. I like to eat a lot of rich, delicious food.
Yeah. Which is easy to do when you are a pastor of a church because
people are always trying to feed you.
Yes.
All the time.
When you're in ministry and people are always giving you treats and there's potlucks.
They're giving you treats like old puppy. Here you go, pastor. Roll
hey,
over.
Hey, great sermon. Great
Here's
sermon.
A donut.
Here's a donut.
Go ahead and I'm going to put this on your nose
Some
now.
Biscuits Don't and gravy for yet. Your trouble. Thanks. Thanks for doing that service. It was good.
Here's some lasagna. Thanks for Nana's funeral.
A worker deserves their wages.
Right? But the problem is gaining weight is so easy and losing it is so difficult.
Yeah.
It's like our bodies, like we've been biologically designed for self-denial, and yet we don't actually live that way, nor do we apply that into other areas of our life. Like, yeah. I think all those reasons you gave, which were really good, and I wasn't ready for all those, for reasons that we gain weight, I was just simply thinking about eating.
Yeah.
But I think most people can understand. No fat shaming here. I'm just basic knowledge.
Yeah.
You eat too much, you gain weight. Most people can get that.
Yeah.
And so most people understand like, hey, I probably shouldn't eat every time I pass by the cake. Like I don't need a slice every moment.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have thirds and fourth for every meal. Like we understand there should be some self-denial.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't actually apply that to our lives in most areas.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, well, you're talking about like the biological
design
doesn't that might register weird for most people? Like, what do you mean self-denial is biologically designed? Like, how do you understand that?
Well, like our body naturally gives us clues, physical clues, most of the time. If your body is healthy and functioning, you don't have any sort of disorders or anything weird. But if your body is functioning at its like normal pace, I guess I should say, it will give you clues when you've had too much of something.
Right.
You've had too much food, you get a signal. You've had too much water, you get a signal. You've had too much anything else, you get a signal. But we choose to override this natural response, which is normally, I mean, that's our body's response to self-indulgence, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess that's one way to think about it.
Yeah.
Your body's trying to protect itself from damage, from doing too much of something.
Well, and when you add in all of the components, like, I mean, there's a certain way that our body responds to carbohydrates versus protein versus fats. And there's so many diets out there that will tell you if you want to lose weight, you got to eat this specific way. And most of it is like there's an element of denying something, mm-hmm. like denying a part of the food pyramid.
Yeah.
But there's not really a lot of emphasis on denying your self-indulgence. Like there's no, I mean, I'm sure there is a diet maybe somewhere, but the trendy ones are not the ones that say, look, just stop eating so much. just quit.
Have some discipline.
Right. Set a timer. I don't know.
What is this? Hometown buffet? Like, all right, you get 30 minutes, hit that buffet, go. On your mark, get set. Pizza buffet, go.
Right.
Well, and that just kind of brings me to the thought about self-denial. Like, mm-hmm. self-denial is not a part of our culture.
Yeah.
Actually, self-aggrandizement is really what our culture focuses on. We're not taught or encouraged to deny ourselves in any area, which is why there are 24-hour eating places, which is why we could get DoorDash or what's the other one where you can order?
Uber Eats,
yeah.
Which even sounds weird. I want to Uber eat. I don't want just regular eat. I'm going to Uber eat.
Y'all eating? What you know about this Uber eating? My eating is so much above what you do. But I don't know. We have all of this at our fingertips. And so self-denial is not something that people are really keen on. And we see it in the church. It like trickles into the church when you try to talk to somebody about, hey, maybe you shouldn't do this thing all the time.
Yeah, because we have a hard time separating who we are from what we do.
You got to separate the who from the do.
Yeah.
Separate the who you are from what you do.
The do you are.
Do you are. That. Yes. I could have delivered that a little better, I guess.
That's all right.
Kind of set you up for that one.
But I mean, you're right. Yes, we do need to separate those two. But for a lot of people, those things become their identity. And it's not so much of a thing of like, I am a hunter. Like
you can
be a hunter, but it not rule your life.
That's right.
And then when someone challenges, hey, do you think maybe this one day you could not hunt and go do something else? It doesn't then suddenly rock your entire world. Like, oh my goodness, I have to not do this thing that I really want to do and that I'm just so used to doing that I'm comfortable doing. But then you're able to say, you know what? Yeah, I love that and I enjoy doing that, but I'm going to deny this pleasure, this joy that I have just for a moment to do this other thing.
Yeah. Well, and when we deny ourselves in certain areas, it heightens other areas.
Yeah.
So being a pastor, we fast.
Yeah.
But you don't even have to go to fasting. Like a common thing that's in the culture, actually, I don't know how big it is now, but I know for a while, sensory deprivation stores, I don't know what they would be called, places, clubs,
houses?
Sensory clubs? Deprivation establishments, where you can go and you can book time and you can lay in a sensory deprivation chamber. Yeah. That's
what is that like where you float?
Yeah, it's like you're laying in this little tub and it's pitch black and the water is your body temperature.
Yeah.
And it's super salinated, so you float.
Mm-hmm.
And so apparently you just sit there.
Yeah, I have a friend who's
supposed
done
to be
that.
Wild.
Yeah, sounds real crazy. I have a friend who's done that. And I think that like alternative medicine people, what are they called? Oh, there's
witch doctors. Mostly.
Oh, Lord. No.
Witch doctors.
No, these alternative medical
like
people.
Holistic doctors.
Thank you. Holistic doctors.
There we go.
Some of those types of professionals can offer that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it is trendy, but maybe it will become trendy.
Well,
now.
It was at one point. I remember it being a thing. But what people have explained, the few people that I've talked to that have done sensory deprivation, is one, while they're in there, they're so much more aware of their inner self. Like they're more aware of their thoughts and their feelings and their emotions.
Wow.
Because they're not distracted by all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They deprive their senses so that their mind almost has full rein to just do. And so then they can experience what it really is to be them apart from the external stimulation.
That's cool.
But then also when they get out of the sensory deprivation tank, light seems super bright. Everything seems really loud. Like, you spend this time isolated. And then when you come out, you appreciate, like you actually appreciate the level of life that you live. Like there's all this stuff that you didn't even realize was so much stimulation.
Wow.
And so we can learn.
Well, and just going back to the fasting thing, because we learned about fasting before we were married,
mm-hmm.
and it was something we kind of grew into, and we saw enough people, I think, doing it and like explaining what it was, that it didn't seem this like scary thing for us to do.
No.
And it was, and also because we were baby believers, it was like, well, Jesus did this thing, and he actually, like, it was a serious thing, and he said we would do it. And so we want to do that. Like, we want to make sure we're being obedient.
Yeah.
But fasting is like literally denying yourself food. And one of the things I really have come to dislike is when Christians, like, let's say you're in a small group and your small group leader
in a small group.
Okay, we said that. your small group leader is like, hey, everybody, we're going to fast because, you know, Mary is... Mary and her husband are making a big decision in their life, and they need us to pray and fast with them in agreement. And everyone kind of gets like a little uncomfortable, like, oh, okay, I'm not going to be able to eat for 24 hours. And then the first thing the small group leader says is, oh, well, it doesn't have to be food.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Every time.
Every single time. And part of me is like, okay, I get the real struggle, because I mean, this is not a brag at all. I've experienced fasting, and it's not easy.
No, nor is it fun.
Nor is it fun. But I can make any excuse that I'm denying something.
Yeah.
When fasting in its original context, Jesus did not fast from social media. He did not fast from, you know.
It's like, hey, y'all, I'm going off Instagram for a while.
I'm going to go offline. I'm unplugging. he fasted from food and water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fasting he did, my goodness, none of us could survive that.
No, we would definitely die. Please don't try it.
Right. Don't do what he did. Don't go to the desert trying to do that. But simply, and because of that, I look at them like, well, Jesus didn't have food or water.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to complain for 24 hours or for 3 days or
what cracks me up in our very privileged culture here in America, mm-hmm. is, and I'm not even going to say in all of America, but just in our area,
mm-hmm.
you'll have people be like, oh man, I can't eat for 12 hours. You know, there are people in this town that won't eat for 24 hours because they don't have food.
Come on.
Like, there are humans who live without food every day.
Yeah.
And yet when we've got refrigerators and pantries full, mm-hmm. But we're asked to fast, we're asked to give it up.
Yeah.
We're like, well, how am I going to make it? Well, you know, there are people that do it all the time and they live.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I mean, yes, a lot of that it's poverty, and no one's asking you to
starve.
Well, maybe they are. I don't know. No one's asking you to starve on a continual basis. And we don't understand the purpose of fasting a lot of times, which leads us to dismiss it easily.
Yeah.
But it is a part of self-denial.
It is.
I'm literally denying my fleshly, one, my desire to eat food, because, I mean, who doesn't like food? This is America. We love our food.
Love it.
And so I'm denying this desire to mm-hmm. eat food. I'm also denying my body's, like, fuel. The thing that, I mean, we know, those of us who took basic biology, we need calories to expend in order to do the things we do.
Yeah, but most of us have plenty. Like, that's, I'm just true. Working at myself.
That is true.
I've got plenty of calories. I don't need to be like, oh, if I don't eat every 3 hours, I'm going to faint. No, you're fine.
And it's also contextual. You have to understand, like, again, we don't understand all the things about fasting.
Well, and I think part of that, especially for like the Protestant traditions, mm-hmm. Which for those of you who are non-churched, we've got like Catholic and Protestant. Basically, if you're not Catholic and you still consider yourself Christian, then you're a Protestant.
Right.
And so what came out of that tradition is almost this rejection of anything Catholic or anything that reminds us of the Roman Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have people who are in very spirit-led denominations or very, I don't know, liturgical, social justice-minded mm-hmm. denominations. Anything that's not focused on historical Christianity, it's just focused on the here and now.
Yeah.
That they don't see the connection to fasting. Because for them, it's almost this archaic, like, well, the Catholics do that during Lent. I don't need to worry about that. That's just something they do. Sometimes they eat fish. I don't know what they do. But the truth is, like, every Christian, every believer is called to fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's crazy is it's not only awesome spiritually, but there's all this science about how good it is for your body.
I mean, the keto diet really banked on that.
Yeah, which is making money right now.
Yeah, the keto diet scientifically, and even for the believers that I know who have done it, it connects some of those dots.
Yeah.
That it's like, wait, how is this good for me? But understand that fasting is not a diet plan.
Well, spiritual fasting is not.
Spiritual fasting is not a diet plan. And I remember having a conversation with somebody. I was like, oh, well, my husband and I are going to be fasting. Oh, well, I'll fast with you. They were thinking of a diet fast.
Yeah.
And I was talking about a spiritual fast.
Yeah,
we totally fasted at the same time, but I was like, I don't think you understand what I mean by that.
Yeah. So when you're fasting, when you're doing a spiritual fast, when you say, hey, I need strength in my spirit. Mm-hmm. I need to get closer to the Lord. I'm mm-hmm. asking him for something, some sort of answer. I'm trying to seek his heart in something. Mm-hmm. You deny yourself a physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing for everyone, the common denominator, is food.
Yeah.
But if you're one of those people that you can forget to eat all day because you're so busy in your whatever you're doing throughout your life, then maybe you should give up something else.
Yeah.
But for most people, food is a big deal.
Yeah.
And so you give up this thing that takes a part of your life, a part of your time, mm-hmm. and you devote that time to reading your word, to praying,
yeah.
to seeking God in those moments.
Yeah.
And what it does is it's this crazy kingdom economic, like you'll find strength that you never knew you had.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find energy you never knew you had.
Yeah.
And God's going to speak to you. You're going to start hearing God in a different way. And I'm not being all weird. Those of you who are like, uh-oh, time to change the channel. About to start speaking in tongues.
No,
Barbara,
no.
Change the channel. I don't know who Barbara is. But
I don't
just,
know why Barbara is in charge of the remote.
And why did you have a remote on your podcast? Anyway, there's a lot of
what
things that
channel?
Carry over.
Anyway.
From when I was a kid. I just say things. You're going to hear God speaking to you in a way that... that ministers to your heart. It's just like that sensory deprivation tank.
Yeah.
Like you go without some sort of stimulation
yeah.
that you think you need
yeah.
and you replace it with the word of God. You replace it with the time that you spend with the Lord. And all of a sudden you hear him different.
Yeah.
You receive him different.
Yeah. Because the things that you're relying on, well, what do I want to eat today? Well, I'm going to have this because if we think about it, everything we eat is self-indulgent. Even if I'm eating it for health, even if like it's all, well, what do I want? What do I feel like? Well, I'm going to have to make this. I should go to the store. It all centers around me. And so there is such a blessing that comes when I remove that thought process from my day.
Yeah.
Where I'm not focused on what am I going to eat? And well, I'm going to have to take time to prepare that. I'm going to have to chop that up. And do I really want to do that?
And don't forget to take a picture and put it on Instagram.
Oh, please
of your
don't
meal
forget
prep.
To share with
because
the world.
Everyone needs to know everything about you all
yeah.
the time.
Even if you don't really eat that, take a picture of it and then eat what you're really going to eat. Right?
Ooh, broccoli kale salad on the side with this big old pizza.
Right?
Yeah.
And so like, there's just something that happens. Excuse me. There's just something that happens when I deny myself in eating.
Yeah.
Like when I deny all of that. And like you said, you do have to replace that.
Yes.
With the spiritual element. Like there've been times where I'm like, oh, I'm fasting. So I just fill my day.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for me to do that. Even before we had kids, it was easy for me to just fill the day with tasks. But you also can't do like, well, I fasted for 24 hours and 12 of those hours I was sleeping. Like
doesn't count.
Like you can sleep for 12 hours, but I would say the active fasting that you did was the time you were awake.
Yeah.
And so again, we love to self-aggrandize.
Well, it's part of our culture. It's a self-focused culture. I remember mm-hmm. a few years ago, I say a few years, I don't actually remember how long ago it was. I think we were in college.
Okay.
So that was several years ago. Time person of the year was me. Like it was a reflective cover.
Oh,
and it was
wow.
like the year of me, and because it had like YouTube and Facebook,
okay,
and I think MySpace was still around at that point.
Nice.
And so it was all about me, like the individual.
Wow.
And ever since then, I can't seem to shake that picture
mm-hmm.
because that's what our culture is all about. It's
yeah.
it's a self-focused,
yeah,
it's selfie culture,
yeah, and it's in the positive and the negative, like. I take personal responsibility for my choices. Like that's about me. But I want to make sure that everyone sees my choices.
Yeah.
That's about me. And any choice that I make that someone doesn't agree with, that's on me. Like everything becomes personal and personalized and hypersensitive.
Yeah.
And the thing about self-focus you mentioned, I think I've mentioned the book before, Free of Me.
Yeah.
And in it, Dr. Sharon Hottie Miller talks about, man, she talks about all kinds of stuff, but she mentions this like weird shift that happened in our culture with the word self-esteem.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Where, at one time, you know, we wanted to help people to build their self-esteem because we thought they were, like the depression and the anxiety and all these things that were bombarding our mental health. We were like, well, we need to counteract that
with a positive self
image. But then that was inflated. That self-image became so inflated that now self-esteem is almost harmful. It's not self-esteem anymore. We don't need to esteem ourselves highly.
Yeah, it puts our image or who we think we should be mm-hmm. as an idol in our life.
Yeah.
It makes our feelings godlike.
Yeah.
It makes our experience the only one that matters because you're living your life in almost a RPG game. Have you ever played a role-playing game on like a first-person shooter like Call of Duty? Or
I have not, but I've seen people playing it.
Okay, so in these games, before they started having online multi-person games where you can play with people around the country. Generally, in the old school games, the only player that mattered was player number one.
Mm-hmm.
You plugged in and there's this whole storyline and you're just kind of trekking along and you shoot people and there's other characters that come out, but they don't really matter because their whole role is to get you through the game. And so your entire point of view as the main character in this game is to utilize everything around you to get you to your end goal. And everyone around you, their backstory doesn't matter, who they were, none of that matters.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that matters is, do they have something I can use?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to give me information I can use? And are they going to help me on my mission? Or do I have to kill them, generally? Because they're mostly shooter games. but that's how we're walking through life.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm the main character in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that's not me doesn't matter as much.
Yeah. Because I have an end goal.
That's right. And I just need to get what I want. And either you're going to help me with that or you're not. We see that represent itself in marriages. They're not making me happy anymore.
Yeah.
They're not doing what I want them to do anymore. We see that with children. You take them to a psychologist, which if you need to take your children to a psychologist, no shame. But I've heard people take their children to pastors or to counselors. Hey, you just need to fix my kid. They're not doing what I want them to do.
Yeah.
Instead of seeing the child as a valued human being.
Yeah.
And not just as someone who's going to help me get to my goal.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a very self-centered. It's that first person shooter mentality.
Really?
I'm the only person that matters.
Yeah. My goodness. And like there is no quick fix to altering that. Like self-denial, this understanding of denying yourself. And we need to just talk for a second about what Jesus actually said. Because a lot of people maybe don't know, or maybe you don't have it fresh in your mind. So Jesus actually said, let me find it really quick. It's all over the Gospels. Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 16, Mark chapter 8, Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 14. But here we have Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to all,
everybody,
if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Yeah.
So that it's very plain. This is it's like you're following Jesus is contingent on this.
Yeah.
He's like, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross. So we've talked about denying yourself a lot.
Well, taking up your cross, what does it really look like in 2019?
Yeah.
So part of that, Christians that are listening, taking up your cross isn't doing something that is mildly annoying, but will make you look good on social media. I took up my cross and I gave up a Saturday to go help at a homeless shelter.
Right.
No, you did not.
Or I took up my cross and I posted this prayer and I shared this meme.
That's right.
And that's not taking up your cross.
I took up my cross and I found 10 minutes to be alone where I didn't have to listen to my children. I didn't have to deal with the phone. But those 10 minutes of silence with the Lord, that was me taking up my cross. That was a vacation. Don't lie to yourself.
Right.
That wasn't you taking up your cross.
And if you're really taking up your cross, you wouldn't need to share it.
And taking up your cross, let's just get the churchy stuff out of it.
Yeah.
Taking up your cross means choose something that kills your flesh.
There we go.
Pick up the thing that will kill the selfishness in you.
Yeah.
That will kill the me focus.
Right. So the reference there, if you don't know the story of Jesus, he actually had to carry his own cross.
Yes.
So the very thing upon which he hung.
He was murdered
on this piece of wood, pieces of wood. He had to carry that after being beaten.
Yeah.
While people were watching him, but he was not broadcasting it. Like, everyone, I'm carrying my cross. Just want you to know I'm about to die for your sins. Like, he was just doing it because that was what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
But for us, like, so often we're like, oh, I gotta take up my cross. This is my cross to bear. That's one of those phrases I really, really, I don't know how I feel about that one. It's just my cross to bear.
But you really, really feel it.
I really, really feel it.
Whatever it is.
Oh, it's not a good feeling. Like, honestly, those things that make us suffer with godly sorrow, like,
yeah,
the thing that I'm like, my goodness, like, every time we fast, I just have to repent before the Lord. Like, I have been so self-indulgent. I have used sugar as a way to numb, and I have used it as a way to distract.
Yeah.
When my God has been there and he's wanted my attention.
Yeah.
That's a cross to bear. Understanding that, you know what? This is going to kill that part of me that I've been holding on to. But through that, through the death of that sin, through the death of that fleshly desire, there will be new life.
That's right.
I will be resurrected in a sense. My mind will be renewed.
That's good.
Through that.
Yeah, the act of taking up your cross, denying yourself, is necessary.
Yeah.
And so, practical application, how do we live this out in a real way?
Well, one of the ways we can do that is self-forgetfulness, which sounds so silly. Like, it's not, so self-denial is something we think like, well, I have to deny myself, like self-deprecate, like, should I look down on myself? Should I think of myself less often? No, because you can't forget something by trying to forget about it. Like, that's self-defeating. And so what we do is to forget ourselves in this walk. We need to focus on the needs of others.
Yeah.
One of my favorite pastors from...
me?
I said one of.
Oh, got you. Got
you're
you,
the
sorry.
Favorite. One of my favorite pastors when I was growing up in the faith, he talked about having an other-centered life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that Jesus is the center.
Yeah.
Like, he is at the
center.
Core. Yes, he's the center. But we need to have a life that is focused on other people, their needs, their desires, their, like, get to know other people around you. And I'm not talking about scrolling through Facebook to get to know what they've been up to lately.
Not just to know about other people.
Right. You get to know them on a personal level, and you'll find yourself forgetting in the process of, like, helping serve someone else. You'll forget about all those little things that occupy your mind about you.
Yeah. Another thing you can do, actually go without something.
Yeah.
Choose to fast. If you've never fasted before, do it. Take a meal. Start with one meal.
Yeah.
Be like, okay, I'm going to skip lunch and I'm going to read my Bible.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to skip breakfast. If a meal that you normally eat, let's start there.
Yeah.
Because if I was like, I'm going to skip breakfast, I always skip breakfast.
That wouldn't be anything. Yeah.
But just do it. Jesus said in scripture, all these Pharisees came to him and were like, hey, how come your people aren't fasting? And he was like, don't worry, a time will come when they will fast. When I'm no longer here, they will fast.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that Jesus was being like, well, they could fast if they want. No, he voluntold us that we're fasting. He was just like, no, look, my dudes are going to fast.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
Oh, bet, Pharisees.
That's right.
Well, it's like when the pastor makes an announcement during service that you're going to be doing something after the service. Everyone can go to you for that thing. But he never specifically tells you, like, he doesn't come down and be like, hey, I need you to do this thing. Would you mind?
That, I mean, so for pastors, just speaking up for us, Normally, that's the moment where we get to inform you that yes, you are now leading this ministry.
You're voluntold.
You're getting voluntold. Hey, right. My wife is now going to be leading this certain ministry, so go talk to her.
Okay, I just found out about a new ministry I'm leading. Yes.
But choose to go without. And if you're not a believer and you listen to us, first off, God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
But this is something that is beneficial to all human beings.
So like, this isn't something that you can only do if you're a Christian. Can do, it doesn't matter if you want to fast. Maybe you, Hey, he's a big God. Maybe he will speak to you through it.
Yeah. But, another element of that is you can fast in any area where you're looking for, just kind of a renewal.
Yes. And one of the, the third thing. Another thing you can do is unplug. My friends, as cool as it is to like put your phone away so you don't get exposure to ionizing radiation and all that, all those weird words.
Yeah.
Like that's helpful, but this act of unplugging and putting our phones down, which I struggle with, it's about dismantling the selfie culture and the need to make our lives and our personal selves look a certain way.
That's good.
Because like, I know I've got my phone, I've got a device near me all the time because we are managing different things.
Yeah.
We've got the podcast, we got church stuff, we've got other different things going on. And so, it's easy to always be reaching for that, but I know that a fast of that is coming for me. I know that I need that because I need that putting it away, sensory deprivation. Even the act of reaching for our phones has become, actually there's an addiction. Yeah. Like our thumbs are positioned now almost naturally from the way we hold our phones.
Or our phones designed to fall naturally where our thumbs are.
Well, that's the chicken and the egg question. I don't know. So unplug, pick a time every day. Like I'm by 8 PM, I'm going to turn my phone off until tomorrow or a whole day each week.
Yeah. The things that we practice, start to identify who we are. And so the more that you wash yourself in selfie culture, the more that everything that feeds your soul and your mind and your heart tells you that your life is about you, the harder it's going to be to deny yourself.
Yeah.
And so, unplugging is awesome.
Yeah. And also just know this month, if you're on our social media pages, you probably saw we announced our store is getting a facelift, which just means we are going to be bringing you better merchandise.
New designs. Different shipping.
Awesome. We're going to put some personal touches on it. So go to our page, follow it, like it on Facebook, on Instagram.
Go to our actual website where the store is.
Check it out.
Which is Nick Smith Podcast, all one word. We hope that this has helped to educate, entertain, and empower you on the concept of denying yourself.
Yes, this has been the Nick Smith Podcast. We hope you've gotten a dose of real life.
No myth.
Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.